In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast, and we read the story of the man who has been paralyzed for 38 years, who is living by the sheep gate, and whenever there was a pool there, and whenever it says that the pool would be stirred, and someone would go into the water at this specific time when this angel of healing was there to heal whoever it is, would enter into the pool. And this man was living there hoping that there would be a time where someone would help him into the pool at this time so that he could be healed of his infirmity. And the Lord demonstrated his power over sickness by healing the man without having him to go into the pool. But we learn some things about the man, and we learn about the way that he dealt with the challenges and the adversity that he faced. And maybe we can very briefly speak about some of the points that we can learn. It says, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." So this man obviously was in a lot of anguish and sorrow and pain, not just because of the infirmity that he had, but because he felt helpless. And that even though he was right there next to the pool, and he saw it in front of him, and yet he could not attain it. He could not have it. He could not actually be healed of his infirmity. And he felt that he was a victim. Like everyone else is going in before him. Other people are getting healed, while he himself, though he was there for such a long time, he is unable to be healed. So what are some of the obstacles that maybe prevent us from overcoming the challenges or the adversities that we have in our life? The first is maybe that we have no motivation. It requires actually a lot of effort for someone who has gone through some traumatic experience or abuse or some kind of difficult circumstance in their life to kind of think rationally and to act wisely in this situation while they're being bombarded with all of the negative emotions that they have regarding the situation that they're in. A person who is maybe regretting something that happened to them in the past or regretting a decision they made might live the rest of their life feeling that they are a failure. Or maybe a person who's been abused in some way might live the rest of their life feeling that they can't trust anyone and they have regret and remorse and anger in them toward other people. And anytime the idea of trying to get over this obstacle or this adversity comes to their mind, it is difficult. They don't have motivation to do it. They're bombarded by the negative emotions that they have in their life regarding whatever it is that happened to them. And so even though maybe people will come to them and say, "Why don't you try this? Why don't you do this?" But they're unmotivated. You know, maybe we've been in such a situation or we've had friends in such a situation where we tell them what is it that they should do to help themselves, and yet we feel like they can't do it or they're not willing to do it. So one of the obstacles to overcoming challenges or adversity in our life is that maybe we feel completely unmotivated to do so. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Meaning, when we bring God into our challenges, we bring him into our sufferings, we bring him into our weaknesses, we ask of him and we lean on him to do what it is that we cannot do. This is maybe the only way that we can overcome these difficult challenges. This man, though he was there by the pool for 38 years and there was no other person there to help him, there was all these other people who went in before him, but it was only when the Lord arrived on the scene that he actually healed the man from his infirmity. So maybe when we try to heal ourselves of our infirmity, or we try different techniques to heal ourselves, but we neglect the spiritual life, or we neglect the work of God in our life and the work of the Holy Spirit, maybe then we feel like there is no success. So the first obstacle to handling our adversities and challenges is a lack of motivation. The second is that we have no plan. In Proverbs 21:5, it says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." Sometimes we have very lofty goals, or we have desires to overcome things. So for instance, a person who struggles with smoking, let's say, they want to stop smoking. There's a desire that they have. They know that it's damaging to their body. They know that it's hurting them. It's maybe also hurting the people around them. And they want to stop, but they have no plan to stop. They just have wishful thinking. They just have maybe a hope or a desire. But that hope or desire doesn't translate into any kind of realistic action to be done. Something that needs to be concrete, that can be practiced and exercised with accountability to actually stop. So maybe we have a desire, but we don't have anything more than that. And that's another problem, because sometimes people have a very, very strong desire for something, and yet it doesn't manifest, and then they give up. They give up because they didn't really make a realistic plan in order to execute it. Something that they can actually attain, something that is gradual, that they can increase over time. Maybe I can't stop doing something all at once, but I can do it gradually. I can do it little by little, and I can talk to others. I can get counseling. I can get therapy. I can be accountable to somebody else for all that I am doing. So unless we make some kind of a plan, maybe whatever adversity or challenge that we're facing, we will not be able to overcome it. Another barrier to overcoming challenges is we make excuses. This man, whenever Christ asked him if he wanted to be well, he answered and he said, yes, I want to be well, but other people come before me into the water, and so I'm not able to be well. Adam himself, whenever God came to him and said, did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat? He says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. He didn't take accountability for himself, but he made excuses. Somebody else is the fault. Somebody else is the problem. I am innocent. There's nothing else that I could have done. And again, this man, maybe by the sheep gate pool, he feels that there is nothing else that he could have done. And he says, well, other people go in before me. What is it that I can do? And so sometimes we make excuses for not being able to overcome any of the challenges that we have. We feel that we are helpless. We feel like we have no agency. We feel like we are victims and there is nothing we can do. But there's always something that we can do. Actually, sometimes we even just meditate on negative thoughts. Meditating on thoughts that bring us sadness and regret and depression. Meditating on thoughts that are false and lies. This in itself is sometimes a big part of the reason why we do not overcome the challenges that we face, is because we are kind of mired in a swamp of negativity about ourselves, about our past, about our prospects, about our future, about who is it that I am and what is it that I can attain and become. And so we find ourselves kind of going around and around in circles in our minds about this, and maybe being also unmotivated because of this. And I make excuses saying, who am I that God would bless me? Who am I that I could attain whatever it is, the desires that I have? And so instead of making kind of a plan, instead of being positive, instead of seeing what are the good things that I have or what is it that I can look forward to, instead again, we just kind of are paralyzed and we make excuses all of the reasons why maybe I cannot attain something. But those people who are the most successful in life are the ones that don't make excuses. They're the ones actually who, even when everything seems against them, they work diligently and they make a plan, and by the grace of God, they can succeed. Another reason that maybe we feel overwhelmed by the challenges that we have is because of an irrational fear. An irrational fear is a fear that is false. We are afraid of something that doesn't exist. We're afraid that something is going to happen that most likely is not going to happen. The statistics show that the vast majority of fears that we have never materialize at all, and yet they are very paralyzing. A person is unwilling to try something new because they're afraid of failure, or they're afraid of what might happen if they do, but the likelihood that those fears come to pass actually maybe is very little. In Proverbs 29, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Meaning, maybe God is calling us to live a life or to take steps in our life that we've never done before, we've never considered before, things that are a little frightening. What is it that God is asking me to do? Or what steps should I take to overcome some kind of sin or weakness that I have in my life that I've never really seriously considered before? And what is stopping me is fear of the future. Fear of what is it that could happen if this indeed happens. Yeah, and this is irrational, because maybe there is no reason at all for us to have these feelings or to think this way. This man, again, as much as he would wanted to be healed, maybe he was afraid of what a new life would look like. Imagine after having lived for 38 years as a beggar by the pool, and hoping that somebody would come to help him in, what kind of life would he have after he was healed? You know, sometimes though we are in misery, our misery is comfortable. Our misery is safe. Our misery is something that we can understand and predict. It's a routine. If I no longer have this misery, what will I do? I remember a story of a person who had been in prison for maybe about 50 years. And then finally they got out of prison. They didn't want to get out. Even though they wanted freedom, But there was some kind of a safety in the prison. Someone was providing for him. Someone was giving him food. Someone was giving him a place to live. He had a certain group of people who he considered to be his friends and his acquaintances that he knew. If he was granted freedom, which of course is something that he would have wanted, what kind of life would he have? How would he find work? How would he live? How would he eat? There was a lot of fear involved, even though it was a step up. It was liberation, something that maybe anyone who had been in prison for so long would have desired. And yet, what is it that he was worried about? He was worried about what that new life would look like. And so sometimes we have a fear of what this new life would look like, and we're afraid of taking a step even to help ourselves. Another challenge that we have, or a barrier to overcoming adversities in our life, is that we try to do it by ourselves without seeking help. You know, there are people everywhere, right? Even this man, he's saying, there is nobody here to help me to get into the pool. Well, did you ask anyone to help you into the pool? Did you again have a plan to seek help from anyone to get you into the pool? Maybe what it is that we're trying to accomplish, or the adversity that we're facing, is beyond our ability to overcome by ourselves. But there are plenty of people in the church and the body of Christ that maybe could help us, friends or professionals or people who have gone through similar situations before. In the Proverbs 11, it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Maybe I can't trust myself or my own understanding of things. Maybe I can't keep myself accountable to myself, and I need someone else to be accountable to. So whenever we feel overwhelmed or burnt out or stressed or afraid, maybe we need someone to talk to, someone to be kind of a guide for us, to give us an objective perspective on our situation, and not just to try to do everything by ourselves. The last point that I want to mention regarding what are some barriers to overcoming adversity is thinking that things will get better on their own. You know, sometimes we think, maybe if I just wait, maybe if I don't do anything, eventually the addiction will go away by itself. Eventually my relationship problems are just going to solve themselves. Eventually whatever struggle that I have, whatever weakness that I have, will just magically disappear by itself. And we pray for this. We ask God, God, remove from me such a desire. Remove from me such a weakness. Remove from me such a problem. And it's good to pray for these things. But then maybe God will come and say, okay, I will help you, but what is it that you're going to do? What is your role in this? In Matthew chapter 8, it says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This leper who chose to come to God in asking him for to be clean, he had faith and he believed. And yes, maybe this leprosy was not something that the man could heal himself of. There was no way for him to heal himself, but he chose to come to Christ in faith, believing that he could be healed. There's always something that we can do that is our role in salvation, or our role in healing, our role in overcoming whatever the adversities are. And we shouldn't let the past be something that cripples us from taking action and taking steps. Things do not improve on their own. We have to take steps for them to improve. And again, make a plan and seek out the help of others and the help of God. So very quickly, we spoke about a few reasons maybe why we stay mired and paralyzed in the weaknesses that we have. One is we have no motivation to change because we are so overwhelmed by the problem that we can't change. The second is we have no plan to change. Maybe whatever efforts we make are short-lived or unrealistic. We're not really thinking through what is it that I have to do in order to get out of my situation or to improve my situation. The third is we make excuses. Instead of looking at what is in my hand to do, instead I just make excuses for all the reasons why I can't do anything. The fourth is I'm afraid of what it might look like. What is it that my life will look like even if I get through whatever the situation is? If I, you know, find a way to quit my job that's been so stressful for me, well, how am I going to find another job? How am I going to, you know, find something better than this? There's fear associated with it. The fifth is not seeking help, trying to do it by myself. And then the sixth is thinking things will get better on their own without me taking any real action. So today we read the story of this paralyzed man who remained for 38 years paralyzed by the pool, waiting for someone to bring him into the water, until the Lord Christ appeared and he asked him this very simple question: do you want to be healed? Like, it's kind of a strange question to ask someone who's been paralyzed for so long, who's sitting there by the water, saying, do you want to be healed? Maybe this is a question we can ask ourselves. Do we want to be healed? And if we do want to be healed, what am I willing to do to be healed? Is it just wishful thinking? Is it just kind of half-hearted attempts to do so? Or is it a really a serious attempt where we sit down and we figure out, what is it that I have to do, what I have to sacrifice, how do I have to change in order to accomplish my goals and overcome the challenges in my life? And glory be to God forever. Amen.